God. I want to open up in your Bibles, if you will, to John. We're going to pick up in the 11th chapter and the 40th verse. John chapter 11 and verse 40. How many of y'all have enjoyed church today? Amen. It's good already. I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do even more, even more. Praise God. John chapter 11 and verse 40. And I want to, this piggybacks kind of off of what I talked about this morning. I'm going to kind of close up this little thought of what we're supposed to be like. Being like Jesus, amen? Loving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, working and doing the things that Jesus did, rebuking the devil, laying hands on the sick, seeing the multitudes taken care of, bringing revival in a dead land. Come on now. God created things, and we have the power to do that through Him. I believe that God gave us the power when we open our mouth and we put it in union and in covenant with Him, that we can speak to the mountain and it be cast into the sea, that we can speak to death and life will come forth, that we can speak to sickness and health will come forth. And tonight I want to share something with you from the depths of just good old doctrine. Good old doctrine. You know, it's a good thing to have doctrine. Amen. It's a good thing to know why we believe what we believe, and it's a good thing to stand firm on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. And so tonight, if I could title this something, I would title it this, If You Truly Believe. If you really believe. If you have faith. If you'll trust in God, if you will truly believe. John chapter 11 and verse 40. Jesus said unto her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would what? See the glory of God. Can we read this again? He said, Did I not say unto you that if you'll just believe, that you will see the glory of God? Praise the Lord. How many want to see the glory of God in our lives? In our marriages, in our homes, in our finances, in our friendships, in our relationships, in our church, in our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, in the world. We want to see God's glory. That's the prayer of the hour. Show me your glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for all your goodness and all your mercy. We ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Open up my mouth. Fill it, Lord God. Put your words in my mouth, Lord Jesus. Put your thoughts in my thoughts. Put your actions in my body, God. And I ask you, Lord, to anoint the minds, the ears, the comprehension of the people that are here and those that are watching via internet later, God. We ask you, Lord, just to open up the way. Let us all see you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. I believe in giving credit where credit's due. There's a friend of mine and his entire little family, Jeremy Bond and Samantha Bond and their little babies. They're joining us right back in the center area there. I hope you get to love on them a little bit before they leave. They're taking a church in Corley, Texas, June the 28th. Is that right? It's going to be their first Sunday there. And they're waiting on that. We're going to pray with them and believe with them and see God pour out His Spirit over there in that little Sims and Maud area. I believe that the Holy Ghost needs to be poured out everywhere. Amen? And so we're going to believe and pray for them and continue to support them in all the ways that we can. So before you leave tonight, give them a hug, shake the hand, put a 20 in their pocket, do something to show you love them. Amen? Praise God. So if you truly believe, how many are believers tonight? I don't mean just, well, I believe, but I don't know, you know. I believe He said it, but I don't know if He'll do it. I believe it's in the Bible, but I hadn't seen it come to pass. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of us that have been given vision. There's a lot of us that have been given promise. There's a lot of us that have been spoken prophetic utterances and prophetic words by the Holy Ghost Himself in dreams and in visions. People have come to us. People have talked to us. People have messaged us and said things in our lives. Anybody ever got a message or a something going on? You know what I'm talking about? And we sit there and we look at it and we think, man, that's great. Man, that's awesome. Man, that's a wonderful thing. And here we are, maybe hours, days, months, years, decades, some of us, and we have not seen it come to pass yet. But I want to give you a little encouragement tonight. The Bible says that though the vision tarries, it shall not lie. And I want to say this, if God said it, He is going to produce it. He is going to do it. He's going to make it work. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances, situations, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, the government, the internet, Facebook says, God is going to make a way if you will believe. Praise God. I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again. It makes me frustrated when people say they believe something, but they don't act like they believe it. Has anybody, you ever told anybody something and, oh yeah, I believe you, but they don't act on it? They look at you like you're crazy. They look at you like there ain't no way. Yeah, there's not a way in the natural. There's not a way in the physical. There may not be a way that seems like, you know, that we can understand or we can comprehend it. But if God says it, it's going to happen. That backslidden child, that prodigal son and daughter that God has promised you and given words that they're going to come home and they're going to get saved and they're going to be right and they're going to go to heaven. You may not see them yet in the church, but God sees them in the future being right where he said they're going to be. And though we don't see it, the prodigals are coming home. You may have been diagnosed with something and there's a healing that's needed in your body and you may not have felt it yet. You may not have sensed it yet. The lump may still be there. The soreness may still be there. The problem may still be there. But God sees into the future and he saw you whole. It's going to happen. Your marriage may be on the rocks. Your finances may be in distress. Everything in your life may be falling apart. But I'm here to tell you, if God promised it, it shall come to pass. The glory of God manifests, listen to this, the glory of God manifests in our realm, in the physical realm, to meet our needs. The glory of God manifests in the mental realm to touch our minds. He manifests in the spirit realm to give our spirit hope. He operates outside of normal parameters. Are y'all picking this up? God cannot be boxed. God cannot be limited. God cannot be capped off except by lack of faith. Did you hear me? God desires to do things that are out of this world, literally. God wants to do things that will blow your mind. He's just waiting on somebody to say, I believe. I believe. I have faith. I trust. This morning, we talked about miracles, signs, wonders. We talked about all the things that Jesus did. He said, you're going to do these same works. Greater works are you going to do. And he poured out his spirit 2,000 years ago, and people have been doing miracles ever since. Come on. But I just want to cover some bases tonight, and I want to talk about what it means if you truly believe. If you really believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is the Savior, that he's the healer, he's the deliverer. That, let me just put it this way. If you believe that Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be, then there is salvation, number one, first and foremost. A believer has opportunity for salvation. That's what brought you in to the fold. You didn't get saved because you doubted. You didn't get saved because you weren't sure. You didn't get saved because, well, I think it might be. No, no, no. You were brought into the family of God by one door, and it's the door of faith. Come on. The Bible says that you are saved by grace through your faith. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, somebody say believe, in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What are you saying, Brother Shelby? You cannot find the saving grace of God unless you believe that it's available for you. The devil loves to make people doubt that it's even possible that they can be saved. Come on. Some of us in here have struggled with that. Has the devil ever made you feel so dirty and so rotten that you felt like there was no hope for you? Has he ever told you that you were too bad, or that your sin was too great, or that you were too far gone for Jesus' love to run you down and overwhelm you? I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar. There's not one man or one woman that has done anything bad enough to warrant them not having the ability to be saved by God's grace if they will but believe. The thief on the cross, right at the end of his life, before he drew a dying breath, he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Y'all remember that little story? Why did he say that? He didn't say that because he was just desperate. He didn't say that because he was dying. He said it because he believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Even the centurion, whenever he gave up the ghost, the sky turned black, the earth began to shake. He said, "Oh my God, what have we done? Surely we've crucified the Son of the living God." He believed. I want somebody to hear me out. There is a revival of believing faith that I believe is going to come in to this United States of America, into the uttermost parts of the earth, into your homes, into your neighborhoods, and people that have never believed in God are going to believe, and they're going to get saved. People that have rejected God are going to get saved. People that have ran from God are going to get saved. People that have said, "I'll never go to church," they're going to walk through them doors and they're going to blow some of your mind, because it's not going to be people that we ever expected. It's not going to be folks that look the way we look or talk the way we talk or smell the way we smell, but they're just going to be people that believe. And God says, "There's another one, there's another one, there's another one added to the family of God." But I believe that if you believe and you get saved, the fruit of belief doesn't just stop at salvation. There's a lot of people that think once you get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life that that's the end of it. Just live on autopilot till you die or till God comes back. But I've got news for you. Don't just stop right there. There's more to it. Mark 16 and 16. Pull that up if you will, brother. He that believeth, Mark 16 and 16, pay attention now. He who believes and is baptized. Now the Bible says that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Bible says that when you are down with the old man, up with the new, all that kind of stuff, that's types of shadows. But what the Bible actually says, we are all baptized into the same body. We're baptized into Christ. Y'all picking this up? Not just in the spirit, but in water. Do you know that it's a commandment of God to be water baptized? Do you know that if you do not get water baptized, that it is pure disobedience, and disobedience is as witchcraft, and there ain't gonna be no witches in heaven? Did y'all pick that up? I know people that have refused to be baptized because they didn't want to get their hair messed up. I know people that have refused to be baptized because they didn't want to get up in front of people. Let me tell you this. If you are ashamed of Jesus in front of your people, he's going to be ashamed of you in front of his Father. But if you'll confess and profess him before your brethren, he'll profess and confess you before his Father. What are you saying? I'm here to tell you, if you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there's something on the inside of you that draws you to be water baptized. Y'all picking this up? It's a beautiful spectacle that we had this morning. Three young people coming back from youth camp on fire for God, worshiping. And I watched them. I'm a little watcher when it comes to things like that. And sometimes I wonder if they're getting this for attention or what. I watched their little eyeballs glued shut and their little tears start falling. I watched their little hands raised. You know what I see? I see a generation not of the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. And when you see people change and they're shifted in their mindset and in their spirituality, they don't just ask Jesus into their heart, but they get in front of the multitudes and they say, "I'm going to be buried like Jesus was. I'm going to lay this old man down and I'm going to come up fresh and reborn and new and alive in Christ Jesus." Praise God. I want you to listen to the latter part of that. Or let me read it all. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be, take that new kick, kick that in off the front of that thing. Give me the good old KJV. I don't like that word. I don't like that condemned. You know what my Bible says? Damned. Damned to hell. Let me tell you something. You can get baptized in every baptistry in Cass County. You can get baptized in the river. You can fly over to Israel and get baptized in the Jordan. You can go here. You can get sprinkled. You can get dunked. You can get held down till the bubbles quit coming up. But if you don't believe, you have no future. I wish water could wash away sins. I'd stand in front of Walmart with a fire truck and a water hose. Y'all hear me? We'd wash their sins away right there in the parking lot. It ain't about the water, brother. It's about the blood and about believing in what Jesus already accomplished. If we don't have faith in him, the water don't do us no good. Y'all picking that up? We had a little conversation last night. I loved it. Talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all these different things. And I said this, and I mean this, and this is just where the rubber meets the road. When you push certain things so hard for salvation, that's the salvation and not Jesus, you're putting the fruit before the root. You're putting the cart before the horse. You're trying to make people change without Jesus doing the work. That's why baptism cannot be shoved down little kids' throats, because what'll happen, they'll get older and they didn't mean it, but they think they're okay because they did what mama said. I'd rather them wait till they're 25 and it stick than do it 10 times when they're a little kid and it not mean nothing to them. It's a fruit of believing. Let me keep on going. Pull up 1 John 5. We're going to be in the 4th and the 5th verse here. Not only are you going to get saved and baptized, and that's all wonderful, and I'm so glad, praise the Lord, that's all it takes to get into heaven, but you're going to be an overcomer. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes what? The world. Overcometh the world. And that is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Revelations talks about this, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Overcoming things. I want somebody to hear me today. The devil may throw stuff at you, but you're an overcomer. The devil may put you in situations, but you're an overcomer. In fact, you're more than an overcomer. Can I just be blunt? You can do more than just get by. You can do more than just scrape along and barely bump and go. I'm here to tell somebody, God wants you to have life and life more abundantly. And if you will believe, God's going to make a way for you to get through and to come out on the other side better than you were when you went in. Somebody ask your neighbor, are you an overcomer? Come on, ask them, say, are you an overcomer? You could ask yourself this, what have I overcome? What have I overcome? I'm here to tell you didn't overcome anything in your life by yourself. You didn't overcome anything in your life because of somebody else. The only person that made a way for you to overcome Jack Diddley was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you put your faith in him, you can overcome dope. You can overcome alcohol. You can overcome depression. You can overcome cancer. You can overcome mental illness. You can overcome anything that the devil puts in your path. Why? Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Y'all picking this up? You can be an overcomer if you'll believe. You say, well, Brother Shelby, believing, you know, I've got this overcoming power, but man, I just don't have the confidence. That's my next point. If you believe, you'll have confidence. Some of y'all need to look at me square dead in my good eye. God did not call you to be pitiful. And there's a difference in being humble and humiliated. Did you hear me? It's a sad dog can't wag its own tail. Huh? If God's given you something, you ought to thank him for it, and you ought to use it. I think there's a lot of people have buried their talents in the dirt of humiliation. And they've said, well, you know, I'm just an old worm. I'm just old bottom of... No, quit. You were before Jesus. But if you believe, God transferred all that guilt and all that shame and all that pitiful no-count mess off of your account, and he made you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You're not the feet of clay. You're the head of gold. All right? Let's listen to this, 1 John 5:13 through 15. I want to read this to you, and y'all check it out. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I've got confidence because I have faith in God. I know that God is... I said this a while back, and it's just a mindset, I think, but I guess it's faith. It's faith. It's the gift of faith. It's the operation of faith. I refuse to fail. Not because of pride. Let me back up. It's impossible for me to fail as long as I'm doing what God told me to do. Do you know it's impossible for you to fail as long as God told you to do it? Now, the moment God didn't tell you and you think you're going to go in there big old hot stuff and make it all work, you're going to fall flat on your face. But I'm here to tell you, it may look crazy as I'll get out. Go ask Gideon what it was like with them little lamps in a jar and a horn honker. Huh? Go ask Joshua when they was walking around Jericho for 6 days and ain't made a peep and ain't shouted and ain't hollered, and these 50-foot walls are just staring them right in the face. Go ask Daniel when they was throwing him in the lion's den, what kind of sense that thing made. God's going to put you in positions that may not make sense, but you can have confidence to know that it's going to happen. Mm-mm-mm. Because with God, all things are possible to them that believe. How many of you have confidence? Praise the Lord. Talked about this morning. I'm going to hit it briefly. If you believe, not only are you going to have confidence, but you are going to work miracles. You're going to work miracles, signs, wonders. Mark 16, 17, and 18. These signs shall follow them that what? Believe, that have faith. And you know, I call it glory chasing. There's a lot of people that jump in the car and they'll drive across the country, or they'll get on their Facebook live, or they'll pay money to get on this little private podcast with these prophets and apostles and evangelists and all these gurus that do all these magic tricks. Come on. Manipulation and sorcery is what most of it is. And they go here and they go there and they get prayed for by every prophet and every miracle ministry. And don't get me wrong, there are people that carry anointings for healing, and just things happen like that. And I praise God for it. Oral Roberts said that he'd feel it in his hand when God was going to heal somebody. He'd literally feel it, and it would happen instantly. But here's what I want you to understand. The glory should not be chased by you. The glory should chase you. Okay. Let me go back to my first scripture that I read. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" The glory of God is where the miraculous takes place. The glory of God is where revelations come to your mind. The glory of God is where peace abounds and joy overflows and love is manifest. I want you to listen to me. If you believe, the glory is going to show up, and everywhere the glory shows up, miracles, signs, and wonders follow. It's not a preacher. It's not a song. It's not a building. It's not a town. And you got to be real careful about these people that talk. I agree. There's a little bit to this. Open heavens and redigging wells and all this stuff that people have got way on this tangent. Just because God did it twice in a town doesn't mean that that's the only place God's going to do it. It ain't the town that God wants to save. It's the souls. God couldn't care less what the town's name is. Do you think it impresses God that we have one city unto God wrote on our water tower? He couldn't care less about that. That's a snake on a pole. It's borderline demonic. You want to know the truth? It's an idol. He cares about what name is written on the hearts of men and women. And when my people who were called by my name, I'm not talking about folks that are just out here running the roads in the Bible Belt acting like they're saved because they went to VBS when they was 12 and they just know the preacher and they shook his hand and got baptized and they got their name on the... I'm talking about when folks that are believers, that have faith in God, get to the point. They say, I'm tired and I'm sick and I'm sick and I'm tired of my kids and my family and my everything being the way that it is. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to believe. The glory's going to fall down. Mamas, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll just start, we have a lost thing that I have found is becoming more foreign and foreign to these latter generations. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? I ain't talking about in English. Paul said, pray with understanding and in the spirit. Talk in tongues, cry, moan and groan and lay on the floor and soak the pillow with tears. Because I'm here to tell you, when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Ghost will pray perfectly through you and you're going to see a miracle. You're going to see a sign and a wonder. Why? Because you believe him enough to take time out of your busy schedule and consecrate it and give it to God. You'd be surprised how many of you that are overwhelmed would get free from that mess if you'd start praying in the Spirit. And somebody said, well, I can't just do that. Then you need to pray. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you should be able to pray in the Spirit at the drop of a hat. And you say, Brother Shelby, that's the flesh. No, it's not. You start it, God will finish it. When the sacrifice was on the altar, the fire fell. Y'all get that? All he wants you to do is yield, and the fire will fall. And you say, well, Brother Shelby, I can't do that. You need to pray. You need to be like Stephen to get full of the Holy Ghost. If you can be full of the Spirit, that means you can be half full of the Spirit. And we got a lot of half-full Pentecostal people in this world that need to get a good old overdose of the Holy Ghost and get back right in relation with the power that they were baptized in when they got the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get off my soapbox. Provision. Do you know if you believe God's going to provide? If he gives you the vision, he will give you the provision. He is for the vision, therefore he will provide. Mark 11:23-24, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. Well, I just, that we, you know, we're called to just do the work of the Lord, and sometimes we don't always, no. I understand. It's never, is it God's will to bless you? It's the timing that we don't like. That's what I've come to the realization of. Everybody gets healed. Everybody does. I don't care if you die today, you can get your healing. It's just a timing issue. It wasn't on this side of eternity, it'll be on the next one. Everybody gets peace forevermore if they believe. They may not. They might die of mental agony, mental problems in their mind. They may have schizophrenia to the point they can't even talk, know their own name. But I'm here to tell you, the moment that they draw their last breath and they go to sleep here and they die, they wake up in eternity with Jesus and there's peace on their mind that they can't even talk about. It's not if God's going to do it, it's when. But I believe... if you believe that you will have provision. There's been time after time that God's told us to do things and God's spoken in his word and God's spoken in our spirits and God's shown us things and he said, go do this, and we ain't got the money in the bank and we ain't got the connections and we ain't got the open doors and we just say, God, what do we do? He said, go. And you just say, okay, well, the first step you take, it's a little shaky. And then maybe the second step and the third. But by the time you get to where you got to have it, guess what? It's there. Sometimes you got to live in the bottom of the barrel. There's a story in the Bible that there was a little barrel of meal and a little cruse of oil. And that was all the little woman had. And the prophet said, you go in there and you bake me a cake, baby. She said, bake you a cake? I'm going to die. I was fixing to make the last one for me and my little boy, and we was going to go in there and die. He said, make me a cake, woman. God's telling you to make him a cake. God's saying, trust me, but with what you have, and I'll show you what I can give you. What are you saying? She went in, she shut the door, she got the meal, she got the oil, she baked him a little cake, and guess what? He ate it, she went back to the barrel of meal, she made her a little cake, she ate it, she went back, make a little cake for the boy. I'm here to tell you, throughout the entirety of that famine, the Bible says that the barrel of meal stayed and it didn't waste away. What are you saying? Daily bread is sometimes all you see. But if you'll get up in the morning and say, I believe that my provision is going to come, you better get your basket ready, because manna and quail is going to fall in down from heaven. God makes a way. It don't make sense and it doesn't look right and it looks crazy sometimes, and people look at you like you're a nut. I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to believe. I've seen it happen too many times. But I'll tell you what I ain't never seen. Y'all know what I ain't never seen? It ain't raising the dead. I've seen that. It ain't cancers falling off. I've seen that. It ain't marriages put back together. I've seen that. I've seen wombs that couldn't have babies. I've seen people that needed things. It happens. You know what I ain't never seen? I ain't looking for it real hard, because I ain't looking for it to happen. But I ain't never seen the righteous forsaken. And I ain't never seen their seed in the street begging for bread. I've never seen men and women of God lose it all and not have the means to preach the gospel. I've seen some hard times. I've seen some thin times. I've seen some rough waters and some shaky storms. But I have never seen a God-fearing believer of God go to hell because God didn't provide them with the grace that was sufficient for that day. Ain't never seen it. Ain't never going to see it. Why? Because God is going to give provision. My last little point I'm going to make. If you believe, you're going to see the impossible. Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You are going to see things that are You know what? There's one thing that people will not forgive you of. You want to know what it is? It's not murder. It's not rape. It's not thievery. It's not talking bad about somebody. It's not, you know, running off of somebody's lover. It's not beating your kids. It's none of that. You take any person in here, they could have some terrible past. And we'd forgive them, right? But do you know that there's something that people have a really hard time for getting over and forgiving people of? And it's being successful. People will love a murderer and hate a successful businessman. Some people hate folks just because they got more than they do. Y'all picking this up? Some of y'all nodding your head because you've been there. Haters gonna hate. But I'm gonna tell you something. There are people today that hate the fact. I'm just gonna be honest with you, and I'm not making this about us or nothing else, but I'm just telling you, there are people that hate the fact that you go to this church and not theirs. And they're mad. And they're raw and they're chapped. Because the church they go to is falling apart and God's blessing this one. And you say, how can you say that, Brother Shelby? We're all on the same team. I don't believe we are. And you say, Brother Shelby, yeah, I know you will, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. If they don't believe for the impossible, we ain't on the same team. I do not believe that God wants to do something normal at this church. I don't believe God wants to do something normal at any church. In fact, if you believe God wants to do something normal, go to a normal church, because this ain't the church for you. We don't have room for normal here. We don't. And I'll tell you why. Because what God is going to do in this last day time is going to be so far ahead of what we thought that some people are going to think it's the devil. That's what they did with Jesus. They said, you're casting out devils by the power of the devil. You're healing by the power of Beelzebub. They said that Jesus was operating with demonic power. Y'all picking that up? I want you to listen to me. People's going to come in here that are cracked out, doped out, drunkard, whoremongering, lying, cheating, stealing, bad reputation, horrible attitudes, no count, no good people. And they're going to fall in love with Jesus here at this church. And the religious are going to say, well, if they were preaching the truth, them kind of people wouldn't go there. Y'all ever heard that? Look how they dress. If that was a real church of Jesus, they wouldn't let people go there like that. Well, I'm here to tell you, it ain't my job to change them. It's his job to change them. It's my job to preach the word. And I can promise you, the roughest looking individuals will turn around to be the most polished gem. The best of the best start as the worst of the worst, because to whom much is given, much is required. Going to be impossible. Well, you know that all these churches, they're closing by the thousands. They're shutting their doors. People are going away from them. They're leaving. The young people just ain't. No, that ain't. Don't put that curse on this church. Our young people love the Lord. Our young people stay in the church. Our young people are full of the Holy Ghost. And you say, we ain't seen it all yet. It's impossible. You ain't going to see it in the natural. You're not going to come up with it on fifth quarters and fun times and feeding pizza and playing volleyball. You're going to see it. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I'm going to start saying this. That's going to be my... Did I not tell you, Ricky, that if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God? Did I not tell you up there at Graphic Packaging, if you'll just believe, you're going to see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you'll believe out there at a Texarkana Aluminum, you're going to see the glory of God? You know at Hell Insurance, you're going to see the glory of God? How many of y'all are retired? Did I not tell you when you're mowing grass, or when you're picking tomatoes, or when you're washing dishes, or when you're checking eggs, Christy, or when you're doing what you're doing, you're going to see the glory of God? What am I saying? I'm saying you're going to see impossible things that everybody thought was nuts. And you're going to come to church and you're going to say, I saw the glory of God when I was getting a chicken egg, when I was wrapping up a piece of paper, when I was filling out a form, when I was at Brookshire's getting the frozen egg rolls out of the freezer. I'm going to tell somebody the glory of God is going to manifest in impossible ways, and folks are going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you for it, because you're going to pray for somebody and they're going to get out of a wheelchair and they're going to be jealous that they didn't do it. This church is going to go to multiple services and folks are going to be mean about it. Well, that's a watered down gospel. They wouldn't have that mean if they'd preach the truth. You'd have more if you would. Shame to the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you. You want to know how I know? I took over a little pastoral position a year and a half ago here, not even on no kind of official thing or on the payroll, and preachers in this town quit talking to me, because I went from being evangelist Shelby to Pastor Shelby. And guess what? I don't want my people going down there to that church. Well, shame on you. You ought to come too. Shut your doors and join us. God wants to do big things, and it's going to be impossible. But when he does it, rejoice and don't look around. Dance like a fool and don't look around, because they'll discourage you. Do like David did when the glory of my God. He brought that Ark of the Covenant into the city. He wasn't looking at nobody. He wasn't listening to nobody. The glory came, and he was dancing a jig, and his robe fell off. His wife was hateful to him, and God shut up her womb. You're going to do something impossible, and the glory's going to show up, and folks is going to be hateful. You'll be hated for my name's sake. That's what Jesus said. But he said, keep on plowing. Keep on going. Because did I not tell you that if you'll believe, you will see the glory of God? We ought to put that on. Did I not tell you? You mark that in your book and wait. Did I not tell you that? Oh, my goodness. Jeremy, you going down there starting that church of 20. I'm going to tell you one. Did I not tell you God was going to do it? Ricky, y'all going down there third Sunday of each month preaching six hours away? 6 hours away every third Sunday of the month. Write this in. Did I not tell you you're going to see the glory of God? Brother James, did I not tell you you're going to see the glory of God? You just put it in your book and you just wait. Because when it happens, you're going to come to me excited. And I'm going to tell, did I not tell you on a Sunday night at 7:32 p.m. that if you'll just believe, you're going to see the glory of God? It's impossible, but with God, it is possible. Praise the Lord. I get radical about this kind of stuff because it speaks my language. It just gets me going. It just gets me fired up, riled up, want to go kick the devil in the teeth and take all of people back and get them all involved in church and get things going. But I know some of y'all just like, I wish you'd shut up. But I want to tell you, you're going to see it. You're going to experience it. There's more to this than just salvation and baptism. You're an overcomer. You can do it with confidence. You can work miracles. You will have the provision, and you will see the impossible come to pass. Believe, believe, believe.